Conclude the series we've been doing since the first of the year on breaking new ground, making room for expansion of what God wants to do in our life. And we covered a lot of topics. We covered a lot of things that go along with preparing ourselves to reach the potential that God has for us. That if we want things to be different in 2013, then we must change up. We can't do the same thing we did in 2012 and expect different results. We got to change things up. We got to look at ourselves spiritually. So we've been talking about walking in our God-given spiritual authority. We've been talking about learning to put our flesh under subjection and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. We've talked about walking in the rest that only God can do. That even though you may be laboring with a lot of things going on, you can be at rest in a season of rest, knowing that God's got you in that special place. Today I want to talk to you to conclude, I believe, is a message that will fit almost any series because it's a very foundational message. And as we head into the Passion Week, as we head into Easter weekend, I think it's a great message to end the series and also propel us into the Passion Week as we talk about, do you know God's greatest desire? Do you know God's greatest desire? And so for the sake of time today, because we're going to take communion, let's just jump right into it. Right into the meat of it today. The first thing I want to talk about, first of all, we ought to know that God made us from Him. How many of you were created from Him? He didn't create you from some monkey. Even though you may have an uncle that looks like an ape, that's okay. He didn't create us from a monkey. That God created us in the image of Him and created us from Him. God created some things. You see in the book of Genesis, have you ever noticed this, that some things God created, that other things Scripture says He made? This is a very interesting point, and I want you to distinct the difference between being made and being created, because I believe there is something that's foundational about this in our walk with God that we can understand. Not because I want you to get the definitions right, and I don't want you to mix the definitions up, and I want you to leave it here and say, boy, I got to watch how I say created and made. That's not what I'm wanting to get at today, but I want to point something out to you in Scripture that I believe will bring you greater revelation of our relationship with God. That today, when we say God says He created the heavens and the earth, that when God creates something, He creates something out of nothing. When God creates, He creates something out of nothing. When God makes, He makes something out of something. He takes something that is and He advances it. He takes something that is and makes something new. And so we see in creation where it says that God said He created the heavens and the earth. But also we see in Scripture where it says that God made things. Let's get right into this and jump to this, because I want you to realize this. If I walk into your house and I see that you have a vase there, you say, Pastor, I created this vase. Well, by the definition, maybe it's all right to say that. I understand what you mean. But if you look at the biblical definition here, according to what God did you look at that vase and say, let there be a vase, and boom, there was a vase? I don't think so. Did you take a painting on your wall that you painted and say, Pastor, I created that painting? No, you didn't say, boy, there's an empty space on the wall. Let there be a painting, and boom, there was a painting. No, you had to take canvas, you had to take clay, you had to fashion these things and make these things out of something. But when God creates, many times we realize that when He creates, He speaks it into existence. You may believe that two molecules and atoms collided in the atmosphere and bang, you know, and all of a sudden the earth was sparked. I believe in a higher definition of creation. I believe that when God said, let there be light, boom, there was light. When He said, let there be heavens and earth, then boom, there it was. It was created. And we know that God creates things out of nothing. But also we see in Scripture where He made things out of something. Now stay with me today in this first point, because it's leading somewhere very important for us. Let's look at this text in Genesis 1:11. We see this example. God said, let the earth, and He's calling to the earth, what? Bring forth grass, the herbs that yields the seed, the fruit trees that yield the fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself on earth, and it was so. In verse 24, in verses 24, Verse 20 says, let the waters, God said, let the waters, he's talking to the waters, let the waters abound with what? An abundance of living creatures. He created, he spoke to the waters to create what? Create all the sea living things. All the water living things were created out of the water, and God placed them in the water. Look, he speaks to the earth again. Let the earth bring forth what? The living creatures according to its kind, cattle, the creeping things, the beasts of the earth. Because these things are brought out of the earth, they are sustained by the earth. And when they die, they'll return to the earth. See, there's a pattern here we see according when God makes things, he calls them out of something. He sustains them in the very thing he called them out of. And then he also returns them back to that very same thing. He calls the sea living creatures out of the waters. He sustains them by the water and the habitats that are in the water. And when they die, they stay in the water, right? Okay, unless they die in your fish pan, your frying pan. I understand that, okay? When God calls forth the trees of the fields, they are connected to the earth. He calls them out of the earth. They receive the rain and the nutrients from the earth. When things die, they compost and go back and feed the soil. But they are sustained by what? They come out of the earth. They're sustained by the earth. And when they die, they return to the earth. Are you following this pattern here? It's something that God does. He calls us out of something when he makes us. He sustains us what he calls us out of. And then when we die, we return to that. So let's look at man. In verse 126, says it like this. When he created man, he said, let us make what? Let us make, let us, who? The triune God. He's talking about the triune God. Let us make man in our image. According to what? Our likeness. So you see, when God made you and I, he said he made man, he created man out of himself. So the philosophy would be this, that God has called me out of himself. I am made in his image. I am sustained in him. And when I die, I return to him. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. Realizing that I am sustained in my relationship with God. A pastor, the scripture also says in Genesis 2:7 that man was made out of dust of the earth. And you are very, very correct. Congratulations. Because scripture does says man was formed out of the dust of the earth. But it also says that God, after he formed man, what? That he breathed life into man through his breath. So yes, your life was given to you. Yes, when your body dies, what's your body going to do? Your body's going to return to the ground, which it was given. When I die, you're going to bury me, and my body's going to return. But my spirit, which has been given the breath of God, will return back to God. You're catching the connection here. You see this, that I can only sustain by staying connected to God. It's no difference. It's no wonder that the symbol of the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon Acts that came like what? The breath of what? A rushing mighty wind. Because it was the breath of God coming through that place. See, it is the breath of God that brings life to you and I. And I must stay connected to the breath of God. This is what brings me, sustains me. What would happen if all the trees of the field said, hey, let's talk to each other. Now, some people believe that the trees actually talk to each other. And if you see Lord of the Rings, you might agree with this statement as well. Okay? If you can believe that the trees talk to each other, I don't know. You can believe what you want to think. But I believe if the trees decided to talk to each other and are like, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to leave this place. But I'm just saying, all right, I'm ready to get out of here. It's time for us to branch out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's time for us to leave this place. See, the second service always gets more jokes right here because I had a chance to preach this already. So you guys are getting fresh material here right now. When if all the trees said, hey, you know what? We need to pull up out of this place. And let's go solo. I'm tired of being attached to this earth, being dependent upon the earth. Let's get up and go do our own thing. Let's go solo. And so all the trees uproot and begin to take off and leave and go solo. How many know they wouldn't get very far, would they? Why? Because their life system comes from their root system, which is in the earth. God called them out of the earth, and he sustains them by the very thing he called them out of. So if they try to leave it, that's why when we have storms that knock over trees and those trees die. We don't pick those trees back up and they live, right? They die because they have been disconnected from the very thing God created and made them, sustain them. Sometimes you know where I'm going right now. The question is this. So if you and I decide to go solo, we're going to die. Spiritually, we will die. We can't say, you know what, I'm here at church once in a while, but you know, I'm not going to be connected because I'm going to do my own thing, man, Pastor. The church, all they want is this and this, and I've got to be disconnected. I'll show up once in a while, but I'm going to be solo. No, you will die spiritually. Spiritually, there is no life unless you stay plugged in to the source of what you were made of. I was made from God. He said, let's make man in our image. And if I stay connected to God, I stay connected to life. When I disconnect from God and do my own thing, I am disconnecting from the very thing I was created to have life from. It's just clicking for you. Well, some of you realize that, boy, if I stay connected on Sundays, but I'm not connected on Mondays, no wonder I feel a drain spiritually. No wonder I feel through the week I'm getting weak. No wonder I feel some things withering in my life. Because why? Because I'm staying disconnected. I must learn that I'm to be a tree planted by the rivers of water, that I am called to stay sustained in God, and He gives me life. We got to be in the house of God. It'd been really easy this morning to miss, but we know that we got to stay connected to what God wants to do. Ephesians 2:1 is very clear about this. It says this to God. He says, well, He made me alive, and you He made alive. Who were what? We were dead in our trespass, in our sins. But when we connect to Him, we who were dead in our sins, God breathes life into us to sustain us. And when I leave Him, I cut off the oxygen, the spiritual oxygen that God is wanting me to be hooked up to. But when I stay connected to Him, I allow His Holy Spirit to breathe in me, not just at creation, but every day. This is the connection that God wants. He wants to breathe in you and I every day. He wants to breathe His Holy Spirit into us every day, bringing us life. See, it backs it up in Scripture right here. Ephesians, we just read it in 2:1. Let's read our next scripture here in John 10:10, which says this, talks about Satan. Satan does not come to what? Except to steal, to kill, and destroy. We got to realize that. Satan is going to do everything he can to disconnect you from your life source. Even as a Christian, he's going to do everything he can to disconnect you from your life source. I mean, it can happen on a day like today. He was talking to you. Oh, you don't need to go today. It's snowing outside. You need a family day. Let's go sledding with the family because family is important. And it is important. And you know I believe 100% in family time. But Satan will do anything he can to get you disconnected to the life-giving message that was being preached here this morning. Am I talking where we're at today? Let's just speak it real. Let's talk about where we're at. Satan will do anything he can. All right, Sundays are okay, but Mondays you can do your own thing. Tuesday, you can do your own thing. And he does everything he can to what? To distract me, to kill from me, to steal from me, to take away the life-giving line that God is destined for me to have. The second thing we realize, God made me like Him as well. God made me like Him. Genesis 2:20, this part of creation, it says, so Adam gave the names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Isn't this amazing? So God gives Adam the task of naming all the creatures of the air and the field, all this stuff. And as he goes through naming everything, there's something else going on. He's looking for a companion. And he's like, all right, God, that giraffe over there, kind of tall. And so we don't really connect. We don't see eye to eye. That's not the one. The hippopotamus, oh, that'd be good for keeping me warm during the winter. But there's something there. That's not quite feeling right. It says after he named all the, that's what it says. It says after he named all the beasts of the field, he still found nothing that was what? A companion to him. And so God caused him to go, Adam, into a deep sleep. It says God put him into a deep sleep. And then in verse 22, it says the rib from which the Lord God taken from man. He took Adam's rib out and he made into him a woman. And he brought her to the man. How did God know what Adam really desired? I mean, how did God know that Adam really desired a woman in his life? Adam didn't even know what he was desiring, but he knew there was something missing. And God causes him to go to sleep. He wakes up. He's created this being, and Adam looks at her and goes, "Whoa, man." That's where we get the word woman right there. I believe that's what he is. Like, "Whoa, man, look at this. Wow, God, this is what I'm talking about right here." You see, because it talks about when man was formed, it says he was formed. If you take that original definition, it means that when he created man, he just kind of took some clay and dust and just kind of, here you go. But it says a woman, when he created her, if you didn't study the interpretation, said he fashioned her. Okay, come on. How many are so thankful that God fashioned the woman? Amen. He took some time with her. All the men's revivals breaking out and all the guys right now, hallelujah. We're like, whoa, thank you, Lord. Your best creation ever. And we see this happening where he made. How did God know that man longed for companion, for a wife, a helpmate? Why did he? Because he was made. What? Man was made from God in the image of God. Therefore, God knows the very thing he desires. Why? Because it's the very thing that God desires. See, God can know Adam's deepest desire because he understands, because it's his deepest desire as well. See, God's deepest desire is a relationship with you and me. That's why you can know. That's why throughout Scripture we see the term that we as Christians are called the body of Christ, but we're also called what? The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Throughout Scripture, we see where we are referred to as the bride of Christ, because God knew Adam wanted a bride even when Adam didn't know how to express it, because he was made in his image. Because God knows that he created you and I as his bride. He longs for you and I to have a relationship with him. That's his greatest desire. What kind of love would it be if God, if he wanted to, could have made us all robots, couldn't he? We could have got up this morning and said, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, God. God, you are worthy. All praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah." We get there just like robots going off all the time. He could have created us that way. But instead, he chose to create us as children and father relationship. I need one. Come here, Landon. Come here. I need help from one of my sons. Come here, Landon. Give it up, my son, right here. He really loves it when I call him up in front of people. You can tell by his face right now. I'll hear about it on the way home. But anyway. Give me a hug, Landon, right now. Give me a hug in front of all these people. What kind of love is this? I mean, this is kind of what I expected. All right, Dad. In front of my friends and everything. What kind of love is this if I say, "Landon, and make you love me"? That's not really love, is it? He's just being obedient to what he was made to do. But when I've been gone all day and I've had a hard day and I've been dealing with people who have got some messed up problems, just like me. He's like you. You're like, "Man, these people are crazy, man. And that's going on." And come on, don't look at me like that way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are ducking around. "Is he talking about me?" No, I'm talking about all of us. That we have things, and sometimes days are stressful. When I come in, I've had a hard day, and my mind's not there, and I walk in, and he runs up to me, or one of my other children, they run up and just give me that big hug. "Ah, Dad's home, yeah." Nowadays, they pick me up. They can do this. "Ah, yeah, yeah." You know what I do? My heart melts, because my sons and my daughters, they've chosen to worship me, not because I made them, not because Christmas is right around the corner. His birthday's not until January, and so it's already passed. He simply wants to give me a hug because they want affection from the Father. There's no greater connection when it comes to love than that, is it? When your child just chooses to reach out to you and love you. Why is that? Because that's the way God created us. Thank you, son. That's the greatest thing, that God created you and I. God created you and I the same way. What's he want most from you and I? Our love, our affection. That's what he wants, our love and affection. Let me tell you this, that God, I'll tell you this right now, if you reach out to God, he will reach out to you. If you will touch God, he will touch you. This is the principle that we know. The Scripture follows that God made me to love him. God made me to love him. Satan craves our worship. Do you know that? But God craves our love. Satan was the chief officer over worship in heaven. He was created as an angel. And it says that any kind of sound that had ever been made musically came out of him. Any kind of choir voice, anything, it all came out of him. He was the creation of music. And as people begin to worship God and they enter into this heavenly thing, man, he got the big head. Pride entered in. He thought, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping me. I'm the one making all this music. And, of course, we know he got the boot, bam, out of heaven. And now he is going to do everything he can to what? Get your worship. He is going to do everything he can to distract your worship because Satan craves your worship. Knowing his background, we know why. Satan craves your worship. But God craves your love. God craves your love. He doesn't just crave your worship. He craves your love. But worship is a tool that God uses for us to connect with him. Worship is a tool. If we will reach out to God, he will reach to you and I. And he uses worship as a way that we can enter in and say, God, I love you. I love you. When we come in, I love the fact that at Destiny that we have people who are very passionate about worshiping the Lord. And I love to see you grow. So many of you have come in, and I know your background. I've talked to you, and you came in from either you wasn't raised in church at all, or you came from a church background where, man, just coming in, Pastor, we just kind of sang, and we just sat there, or on a real good service like Easter, we stand up and actually sing one time, you know, up from the ground. And we just, it was really emotional for us just to stand, you know. And so we come into Destiny, man, and people are like lifting their hands, and they're going after God, and they're passionate. And I really didn't know about it, but I began to try, and I see you out there. So awesome. That's why we lower the light so you can be comfortable in your worship and nobody's watching anybody else. You can just learn to worship God passionately in your own way. And I love it because some of you tell you new because you don't even know what to do. You're like, I want to lift my hand, but do I do this? Is this considered half mass? Is this considered reverent? I don't know. You know, God, do I push you to praise or do I receive the blessing that's coming? I don't know yet. Is this? Or is it this, you know? And some of you guys are like, yes, Lord, it's touchdown right here, you know? Hallelujah. And some of you are just not sure. You kind of got the halfway thing going on here. You don't really know. And it's okay because it's really not important. The important thing is the passion that you bring and saying, God, I want to connect with you. God, I want to tell you how much I love you. God, I want to sing to you how much I love you. God, I want to sing your praise. God, I want to sing about your love. God, I want to connect with you. I want to reach out to you because you know why? If I will reach out to him, he will reach right back and embrace me. I hate the fact that sometimes we hear people say, haven't heard it a lot here at Destiny, but in growing up in church a lot, I've heard this phrase used a lot. Well, I just didn't get anything out of the service. You ever heard that statement? Come on. I've said that before. Anybody else said that before? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I just really didn't get anything out of it. And since when do we think we're supposed to be the one getting something out of it? You see, because I've learned this, that no matter what goes on, no matter what song is sung, no matter who's leading the worship, no matter who's preaching, if I will reach out to God, if I will focus on him and I will put into it, I will receive out of it. If I didn't get anything out of it, that means I didn't put anything into it. That's right. Thank you for mom for that hand right there. Thank you. I got one hand. Yeah. We got to put something into it. And it's saying, God, I want to go after you. God, I want to touch you. God, I want to push to you. God, I want to be passionate about worshiping you. And that's why I love the fact that our children come and our youth and our teenagers and our young adults and even moms and dads now, some of you are more free to come and just say, God, I'm going after you and I'm pushing after you. Well, that's all right, Pastor. That's just for the children. Well, the Word of God says, if you and I do not come, because the kingdom of God is what? As a little child. We gotta humble ourselves. God, I come to you as a little child, reaching up to you. Say, God, I need you. God, I love you. God, I embrace you. And as I reach up to him and I passionately go for him, he passionately reaches his arms around me. When the woman who had the issue of blood, when she reached out and touched Jesus, it said instantly he reached back and healed her. I mean, there's something about touching the Lord. There's something about saying, I've got to connect to God. I've got to do that. If I will connect to God in worship, if I will touch to God in worship, he will touch me. If I will touch God in my prayer, he will touch me in my prayer. If I will touch God in my praise, he will touch me in my praise. I've got to stay connected to my life source. I've got to passionately say, God, I want to be with you because anything else doesn't bring life. The only thing that I can have life in is when I stay connected to my life source. You made me in you. You sustained me in you. And I will return to you because he says this, that there's going to be a marriage ceremony that's going to be like no other ceremony. And when Jesus was telling this story, we realized that in those times when someone was engaged, they were put together to be married, that many times they had to be separated. They separated them for several months at a time. Sometimes even over a year, they would spend a year and a half, sometimes even 2 years, they had to spend apart. The bride and the groom, they had to spend apart before they were ever married. And they would plan this big wedding. And it wasn't just, you know, nowadays people are like, Pastor, can you make the ceremony short? Because I just don't like standing up in front of people, you know. And we want the quickest ceremony you got. Some people are like that. I understand that. But back in this day, the wedding ceremony didn't happen in 15 minutes. It was a ceremony that lasted for days. The celebration went on and the feast went on. It was a big feast and family came from everywhere and people traveled everywhere. And the ceremony went on for 7, sometimes 2 weeks. They'd have this big wedding celebration. It was awesome. They would come together and the bride and groom are reunited once again. People come and it was a huge celebration. And Jesus said, this is the way it is, that you are my bride and I will return you back to me. And there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb where the bride is reunited with her husband. And it's going to be a celebration like no other. And that's the relationship that you and I have, that we stay connected to our life giver. We stay connected and sustain us. God, you are breathing your Holy Spirit in me. God, you are speaking life into me. God, you are sustaining me when others are destroying me. When Satan is attacking me, God, I am full of life because I am connected to you. When words come my way that are hurtful, God, it's okay because I'm connected to my life giver. When things and arrows are thrown my way, it's all right. They may hurt, but it's okay because I got a God who will sustain, who will heal, and bring fresh life, fresh power to my life when I stay connected to him. As the musicians come this morning, we're going to take communion here in just a second. Our musicians are coming. I want our servers to go ahead and begin to come. I want to give you one last verse here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 24:7. And I want you to see this phrase here. Stay focused in on me right here. I want you to see this phrase here. Because this phrase is found throughout Scripture. You can find this phrase about 25 more times in Scripture. Go home and look at it. And throughout this phrase continues to pop up in several different Scriptures. I believe that God was trying to speak something to you and I that we get it. Jeremiah 24:7, just one of these scriptures, and it says, then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And this phrase right here, you'll find it over and over and over again in Scripture. It says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And in another scripture, we find the same thing. He says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And he says it again, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And they shall be mine, and I will be theirs. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. They will be mine, and I will be theirs. I've called you and made you out of myself. I've called you back to me. I sustain you in me. You are mine, and I am yours. This is the relationship. It's the greatest love story ever told. It's the greatest love story ever told. That while we who were yet sinners, Christ died for me, called me to himself. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads this morning. Nobody's looking around but me, but before we go any further, I want to give you a chance here today. You say, Pastor, you're talking about this relationship with Jesus. And today, I've got to make things right with God. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about this connection. You're talking about this love. You're talking about this relationship. And I've never asked Jesus. And I won't embarrass you in any way at all. But I want to make sure today you have a chance to make this decision. Say, Pastor, today I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. With nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me, Pastor, I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? If you haven't raised it right now. Say, I'm ready, Pastor. Today's my day. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty, buddy. Thanks. We've had those who have raised their hands here, so we're going to say this prayer out loud together. As Christians, we're going to say it with you, and if you raised your hand, I really want you to say it from your heart today. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my dreams, all of my life, I give to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God this morning, man. What an awesome thing. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, this is not the ending. It's just the beginning. Just the beginning of a new journey. You need to be connected to a home church. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you connected here because you're going to need people around you, support you, to teach you, to help you in your new decision. Before you leave today, stop by our information booth in the back. We've got a free Bible, some other information we want to give you on this new journey. And man, what an awesome thing it is. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. As we head into this Passion Week, I want you to see this statement right here. This last statement on the overhead. It says this right here. God doesn't want to date me. He wants to marry me. God doesn't want to date me. He wants to marry me. Sometimes we've been there. We've been dating God for a long time. Oh, I'll go out with you on Sunday, God, then I'll get back with you next weekend. Gotcha. Don't call me. I'll call you. Got it. God doesn't want to date me. He wants all of my life. He wants all of my heart. Let's stop dating him. Let's make him Lord. Say, God, I want to plug into the very thing I was made of that I can sustain my life. Today, as we're going to come forward here in a minute, we're going to take up the Lord's table. What greater time during the Passion Week that we kick it off. Say, God, I want to remember you. I want to remember what you did on the cross for me. We're going to exit to our right side, come down the aisle, receive the elements, go back up the left side of the aisle. Those of you here in the middle, I want you to kind of draw an imaginary line right here in the middle. And this half over here, I want you to join these people coming down this aisle right here. This half here, you're going to join these right here. I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to receive the elements. Get them, go back to your seat. If you wait, we'll pray together over them and take them together as the worship team leads us in this song, Oh, the Blood. Yes.
Oh, the blood, crimson blood. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Come on, one more time, raise your hands to the Lord. Father, we love you today. God, with our hands raised as the symbol of surrender of our life to you. God, we love you today. God, we thank you one more time, God, that you have sustained us, that you are breathing life into us, that even in our darkest hour, God, you breathe life into us. Even through our difficult times, God, you bring encouragement and you breathe life into us. Even through our journey, God, that you are breathing life to us. And we thank you today as we head into this Passion Week. God, we will proclaim your goodness. We will proclaim the love of Jesus. We will proclaim, God, that you are an awesome God. And God, we love you today and we give you praise and we say amen. Amen. Listen, today before you leave, remember next week, 3 services. Help me fill them up. Stop back there and grab some invitations. Pass them out. God bless you. Have a great week.